Hi, I'm WTOP Entertainment Editor Jason Fraley, and we're here with
George McKay
and
Dane Charles Chapman,
who are the stars of the awesome new war movie 1917. Thanks for joining us, guys. Congrats on the movies, you know, Golden Globe nods and all that stuff. I loved it. I think it's one of the better war movies I've seen in recent years. So, you know, of course, the big thing with this is, you know, it's all shot in one, or the illusion of one continuous single take, let's say. And I want to hear from each of you, but, you know, it's got to be a million challenges of being able to do that. Like, you have to, you know, not only have a performance turned on, but you have to run and hit so many different, you know, marks. And, you know, like, how insanely difficult is that?
Well, it's funny. It never seemed like, other than the very first day and kind of going, okay, this is one shot, we weren't sort of like, you know, jumping to the top of the mountain. The process was so gradual that it didn't seem too scary. Like, we rehearsed for 6 months all in all to basically choreograph the route of the film, and that was a sort of a very mutual collaborative process, and we just took it step by step, layer by layer.
Yeah. And had you guys been familiar with any, you know, previous things like that? Like, you know, they did Birdman, of course, Hitchcock's Rope. Did you watch any of that to sort of familiarize it with that, or was it just its own beast?
No, I mean, we didn't really go out of our way to sort of watch anything in particular to sort of, you know, take from or mimic in a way. This was really its own story, and it's, you know, I did watch Birdman though, like, on another occasion after we'd finished filming. But it's, you know, I think that no one's ever really made a film like in this way, you know, and you really can't tell, you know, if we cut or when, you know, when it was stitched together. But the thing I love about this film, it's you know, it's set in the First World War, but it's not about the war. You know, it just follows two, you know, very human men that happen to be soldiers. It's a very human story on a, you know, told on a very human level. It's definitely a roller coaster, isn't it? It's very, very immersive.
Yeah. And when we were talking with Sam and Christy earlier, is, you know, they were saying that so many people are focusing on the how it was made, you know, the technical aspect, but they also wanted to make sure we talk about, you know, the why, which is, you know, it creates an immersive experience that, you know, it's sort of that race against the clock kind of a thing. Talk about, I also know that, you know, right before the end credits, they flash up where, you know, it's sort of a homage to his grandfather's experience. That made my wife and I tear up a little bit. We said, oh, it was based on another Mendez. Oh, my God, it's his grandfather. Did you feel any, you know, I don't want to say pressure, but, you know, like, was it more important to you that, you know, that there was such a personal connection with Sam and you were in essentially playing his grandfather, you know?
We were never playing his granddad. Like, Dean and I are completely fictional characters. This is in the spirit of Sam's granddad and all the men. And there was a responsibility and a duty, which is, I guess, the themes of the film. But it was never a burden or anything. It was more, if anything, it's just an inspiration, you know, to keep working at it.
Yeah. How logistically does that work? You have, you know, Colin Firth just hanging out in his little spot, and then Benedict Cumberbatch waiting at the end of your giant puzzle piece. You know, are they just hanging out there for the whole thing? Or, I mean, I guess it depends how many single shots there were, because it's several, right? But how does that actually work? Do you guys rehearse real fast, and then they just hang out there until you get there, you know, a half hour later? Or, you know, how does that actually work?
I think, you know, like, Colin's characters and Benedict and Andrew Scott's, Mark Strong's in it as well. I mean, they're just sort of characters that Blake and Schofield meet along the way. So really, they was only there for like a couple of days filming, or a day. But they turned up to our rehearsal period as well to sort of work through the scene. And we rehearsed for 6 months. So they was definitely present in the rehearsal process. What they brought to their characters and the film is very special, and you know, as an actor, you know, I look up to them people, and it was very inspiring and blew my mind every day.
Without spoiling anything, but we can at least say, you know, a driving, there's a little bit of a Private Ryan element of trying to, you know, get a message, because there's a brother, you know, waiting. Talk about your character's growth in terms of, you know, where do you think he is at the start of that that single take versus the end? You know, where, what emotional journey do you think he goes through? Loss, obviously. We're not going to spoil things, but, you know, he goes through a lot of stuff through that. But how do you think he's a different man at the end?
I think it's a day that changes your life. I think him, but I don't really know. I think you just, to me, when I finally watched the film, I think it's equivalent to kind of almost what Schofield goes through. When I watched the film, I became very clear on who I love most in my life and where I root myself. And I think that's what the film's about mainly, and is the way in which when humans are stretched and when you're pulled to your absolute nth degree, like emotionally and physically, it becomes very clear of what you actually need. And we're lucky enough to be in, you know, in a world where we can consider more than what we just absolutely need. But for me, when I watched it, it became clear on who means most to me in my life, and, you know, who I love in my life. And I think that's probably what Schofield's feeling.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and hopefully it does that for audiences too. It did for me. So yeah, talk about sort of how your characters. You have sort of a big-hearted, give the enemy a benefit of the doubt. You know, maybe an enemy combatant will crash a plane, and you want to help them, or you encounter a guy, and you try to make peace, and it always seems to backfire in this movie. But just talk about what in their character makes them, they have those moments, of those human moments where you don't really see them as the enemy combatant for a second. You know, you try to pull them out of the plane. You know, why do you think that is?
I think it's just one of them things when, you know, we say this, if this room set on fire, you know, I'd jump out that window, I'd save you. But you never really know how you'd react in you know, if that actually happened to you. But of course, you know, that they were fighting an enemy of, you know, what they fought, and but they're just humans, you know. And when you hear someone needing help, crying, or you know, they're, you know, you just, you know, react to that however you do, and you just be human about it. I think that's the really good thing about this film, is that it's, you know, even though they're at war with each other and stuff, they are just still humans. And if this story was, you know, told about two German soldiers or two French soldiers, it'd be the exact same thing, and they'd react the exact same way. And there's a lot of moments in the film where, you know, you think something will happen, and actually it turns out they do something completely different.
Yeah, I think that's like, it's almost like if we listen to what we're saying in this conversation in terms of they have human moments, and like, why should that only be a moment like, what, you know, what, why is that the unique moment? Like, why is that the unique spot? If we just saw each other as people, then sure, so much of what's going on in the world would not be there. So, like, you know, the negative stuff. So I just think that's probably mindful, that, you know, rather than that be a unique thing, just see people as people.
Yeah. You know, you two, well, the three of us, I'd like to think we're a little more relatively on the younger buck side, you know. but talk about how cool it was working. Yeah, right? Yeah. Yeah. Well, yeah, this thing's going to turn gray at the end. But you know, talk about how a thrill of working, you know, with let's say Benedict or Colin, you know, those, you know, just dish on how cool those, or anything you learned from those. Yeah, veterans, like,
they're amazing. they're amazing. They're like, they're masters, you know. Like, I think they all work in, you know, Colin, Benedict, you know, Andrew Scott. They all kind of have their own process and everything. But the one uniting factor I found was the specificity of their work, and it was amazing. You know, life is so detailed. We've all got our little idiosyncrasies. We've all kind of got our, you know, we're all so individual, be it down to a movement, be it to the way that our accents, you know, the way we put intention on a certain word. And they just pull all of that detail out of the scene. You know, they just juice the scene to make it as alive as it can be. And that was really amazing to see.
Yeah. Talk about Sam's brilliance as a director. I mean, we've talked about, you know, a lot of the technical wizardry and just synesthetic stuff of the long single takes, but in terms of working with actor-wise, you know, what is, you know, what's his process with you guys as actors? You know, was, you know, in terms of, did he work with you a lot ahead of time, you know, character work, or, you know, or just from an actor-director perspective, how does it, what's his process?
I loved working with Sam. I mean, he really is a master at directing and what he does. And I think he really is an actor's director. You know, he was so good at talking to us and talking to us about the story we're trying to tell. And what was really comforting for me is that, you know, Sam had written the script with Christy, and he had a real crystal clear vision of the story and the characters. And having a director that knows your character just as well as you do, that's very comforting, because you know that he's going to lead you, hopefully, in the right direction. And Sam did. And the same as Roger as well, to be working with Roger. And what's amazing to see is these people have been in the industry a long time. And, you know, they still love what they do. They're so passionate. You know, that's very inspiring to watch and be able to work with them.
And in terms of his, you know, where this fits in his larger, let's say, body of work, filmography, I mean, do you guys have a favorite Sam Mendes movie? I mean, we have American Beauty, 20th anniversary of that, actually, now that I think about it. Yeah, 99. God, Road to Perdition, Revolutionary Road, the James Bond stuff. I mean, do you remember when you first discovered him, or any favorites?
I don't know. I mean, he's got such an amazing theatre, you know, repertoire as well. But I think for me, a film that was kind of went under the radar a wee bit was Jarhead. Like, I remember when I first watched it, and I rewatched Sam's films before we got to filming, and Jarhead particularly, I was like, man, where did this go? Like, where does that, like, I'm sort of, because I feel like it perhaps wasn't as celebrated as it could have been, you know, which is just the luck of the draw, I guess. But
it had some Full Metal Jacket elements.
Yeah, and I thought Jake Gyllenhaal in that, and obviously that, I think that was the first time that Roger and Sam collaborated as well.
Jamie Foxx too, right?
Yeah. Foxx is amazing. Jamie Foxx is amazing. Such Hoorah. An amazing cast. Yeah. And that, but then the strangeness of some of those images, like, you know, the conversation that Jake Gyllenhaal and Jamie Foxx have with all the towers of, like, the burning oil, It was just like, this is incredible.
Singing like the Mickey Mouse song or something. I have some image of them singing the Mickey Mouse Club theme, walking across those burning oil fields. Or something. I don't know. It's just burning my brain.
Then there's like a horse comes through. It's like this sort of surreal, otherworldly place. But I really love Jarhead.
Yeah. Do you?
Yeah, I love Skyfall. Thought that was a great James Bond. I'm a big James Bond fan. But American Beauty, I think that's my favourite one of Sam's. Yeah, I do. I remember the first time I watched it, and you know, I loved all the performances in that and the story. And yeah, I think it's one of my favourite films. And 1917.
Yeah, 1917. There's no plastic bags floating through the breeze in this one, but it's a little different. Yeah. But speaking of weird horses that appear out of nowhere, Game of Thrones. that was my best segue I could do out of what you just said. just memories of working that real fast, if you don't mind. Because it just wrapped and it was such a huge series. And, you know, Tom and, you know, taking that plunge out the window, man. But were you pleased with the way they wrapped it up? I wanted something more for Cersei and Jaime, man. I wanted them to go out, you know, sadistically after all they had done. But, you know. Up to you.
Do you know what? I actually didn't watch the last season.
Really?
No. But I mean, I know everything what happens, and I've seen, you know, clips on the internet what people's tweeted me and stuff of certain scenes, like Jaime and Cersei's, you know, spoiler alert, death. But do you know what? I mean, I think it was, you know, for me as an actor to be able to play a character that was completely different from me was just an honour. And I loved working on it. I loved the scripts. You know, even though sometimes I've got to admit I was a bit frustrated with my character a lot of the times. I always wanted more from him. You know, I wanted him to be written in a, you know, a better way. But that was just my character. You know, he was pretty useless.
Kind of leading him around a lot,
But, I mean, I was amazed to, you know, get the part and be able to play Tommen. And, you know, when I first got the job, it was like walking on around Disney World. You know, all the different sets and all the different characters in their costumes. But yeah, I mean, that's part of as well why I didn't watch the last season, is because once you're a part of something, it just ruins like the magic of watching stuff. You know, you can't really separate the two. But the way it ended, it was the way it ended, and that's what it is.
Well, it was one of the greatest shows ever. So proud to be a part of it. You know, you should be. But hopefully that's not the case of where it ruins the magic, but, you know, with 1917 for you guys, because I hope you can watch it and just get, I think maybe with that immersive experience, you can really enjoy it. So in closing, why, you know, what do our, you know, our list, I think it opens, what, Christmas Day maybe?
Christmas Day is certain territories, which I think is right around here, and then January 10th, it'll be everywhere.
Yeah, what do you, just real fast in closing as I wrap up, what do you want our listeners to take away from that? They go see it maybe with their family on Christmas Day or whatever. Is it sort of what you were talking about earlier with, you know, the people you love in your life?
Yeah. I think it's, as again, it's about the human experience more than anything. And I mean, it's not for me to say what people take from it, but what I do hope is that people see it in the cinema. Like, it's kind of a rarity that this is a film geared to for the cinema and the cinematic experience. Like, I don't think you watch the film, you experience the film. And so, yeah, if folk can see it in the cinema, that would be amazing.
Yeah, see it on the big screen, folks. All right, thanks so much. Appreciate it.
Thanks. Thank you, man.